Brett Hollander back here on WBAL, and we're joined now by Jim Callis from MLB.com and MLBPipeline.com, actually joining us from the College World Series in Omaha, Nebraska. Jim, thank you so much for calling in.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Glad to be here.
Well, let's talk about first this Orioles 2014 draft. Of course, they don't have a Hunter Harvey this year to talk about, or a Kevin Gausman, or a Dylan Bundy. There was no first-round pick, and there was no second-round pick this year for Baltimore because of what they did the previous offseason, signing Nelson Cruz and also Ubaldo Jimenez. And don't forget, they traded one of the sandwich picks for Bud Norris last year to Houston as well. So they were down really three picks this year. But they go and get Brian Gonzalez, a left-handed pitcher from Miramar, Florida, a young left-hander. And I've had a chance to talk to him, a very articulate guy, and I think the Orioles are very high on him.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. I mean, I think some teams liked him as a power-hitting first baseman, too.
Wow.
He had some power as a first baseman. But he's, a strongly built kid, and he's got kind of a solid stuff. I don't know if there's any one pitch that wows you, but it's solid stuff. Throw strikes with fastball, curveball, change up. Knows what he's doing out there. Pretty interesting kid.
Yeah, he said if there was one person he could kind of mirror himself after, a big leaguer right now, it would be Cole Hamels. That's what he said. His stuff looks the most like right now.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I can see that. Maybe. I mean, it's tough because, Cole Hamels is a totally different build. And this kid's got an interesting changeup. Cole had a really good changeup at this same stage. But sure, I mean, if you're high school lefty, you could certainly do worse. More worse guys you could pattern yourself after.
I would say that is true. And then another interesting guy, someone who's going to play college basketball again this coming year, is a right-handed pitcher from Notre Dame, Pat Connaughton, a legitimate college basketball player, but will pitch a little bit for the Orioles this summer and then go full-time after this coming college basketball season.
Yeah, I mean, I think the apt comparison there is because it's the same school, different sport as Jeff Samardzija, where, Samardzija, when he was on he was All-America wide receiver and actually, much more known as a football player than a baseball player at Notre Dame. And it was funny because Samardzija, when he was at Notre Dame, he threw, he could show you 94, 95, but he wasn't missing a whole lot of bats, which was kind of a red flag. And then once he committed to baseball full-time, everything came together for him, and now he's a pretty solid big league pitcher. And it's kind of the same deal with Connaughton. I mean, Connaughton was second on the basketball team last year in rebounds, assists, and scoring. I mean, one of their best players, obviously. He'd the same type of deal, kind of as Samardzija. He'll show you 94, 95. His secondary stuff isn't as advanced. His command isn't as advanced. But, I mean, you're talking about a big kid with size and a great arm. And, I think the hope is, I'm not an NBA expert, but I think the hope is that, after, basketball's done this winter, he becomes a full-time baseball player. Maybe he makes that leap like Samardzija did.
And as far as the rest of this draft, I know the Orioles did not have a first-round pick or a second-round pick. Anything else jump out to you as far as these players that you've been following, monitoring, that could be pretty interesting down the line for the Orioles?
There's some interesting guys. I mean, their sixth-rounder, Tanner Scott, he pitched a school I'd never heard of, Notre Dame of Ohio, in 2013 and transferred to junior college this year and touched 97. I mean, he's extremely raw, but, I mean, that's a lefty with a tremendous arm. A guy who's always kind of interested me is a later-round pick, was a fourth-round pick out of high school, is Matthew Grimes out of Georgia Tech, who had Tommy John surgery while he was with the Yellow Jackets. But, I mean, this is a guy who people were high on at one point, and, he could still, be 90-94 with the fastball, with some sink, and he's got a pretty good changeup. I think there's still some talent in there, so he's kind of interesting. And then, one of the more recognizable names in the 25th round, they took Bobby Bonilla's kid, Brandon, who's big lefty, who's touched 97, very raw, and he was, I guess, ineligible this season at Grand Canyon, I think, for academics. But, lefty with big arm and, an interesting guy for player development staff to work with.
It's funny you mentioned Grimes. You're not the first person to mention him to me, including a couple of Orioles scouts that think he might be the sleeper of this draft.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like I said, I mean, this guy was a fourth-round pick out of high school and didn't sign with the White Sox. And, I mean, he had the Tommy John surgery last year. So, I mean, you don't expect the guy to be, back to quite, full strength this year. But, I think that guy could be a nice sleeper for him in the 18th round.
Tough call, of course, last offseason, giving up a first-round pick for Ubaldo Jimenez. And I know a lot of Orioles fans frustrated with Ubaldo right now. But to me, this is kind of what he's been. He'll go through a hot streak at some point here. He'll go through a number of cold streaks. But if you're Dan Duquette and you see the fact that at some point here the time will come to make a tough call on Chris Davis in free agency and Matt Wieters after the 2015 season, and then we know Nick Markakis theoretically up this year. He does have a mutual option in his contract that I doubt will be picked up as it currently stands. J.J. Hardy, a free agent after this season. Do you begrudge or question the decision-making giving up a first-round pick in this draft, and how deep was this first round?
I don't begrudge it at all. I mean, as you know, I probably enjoyed the draft as much as anybody, but, I mean, what's the draft supposed to do? It's supposed to help your big league team win, and if you feel like, you know, the Orioles are, especially this year, the AL East seems up for grabs more than ever. You know, getting Jimenez, getting Cruz, that makes the team, you know, significantly better than it would be without them. They didn't have to give up players from the farm system for them. You would hope. I mean, now, you know, if you hit on your first and second round picks, you know, then you're going to get guys who are very inexpensive, you know, until they hit free agency, and that's a boon for your team too. But, I think it's just, you got to look at it as akin to making a trade. You know, would you trade, you know, your first round pick to get a pitcher, or and your second round pick to get a slugger who could really help your team? I think that move makes a lot of sense. You know, and the draft, I mean, I think it was an okay draft. I mean, I know coming into the year, people thought it was going to be a pretty good draft. I think their expectations leveled off a little bit. You know, there were injuries, especially on the college pitching side and the position players. I think especially the up-the-middle guys, you know, shortstops, catchers, center fielders, a lot of those guys didn't develop with the bat like people hoped. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's easy for fans to say, yeah, you know, God, they never should have given those picks up. But, I mean, it's kind of like wanting your cake and, you know, eating it too. I mean, you have to sacrifice something to get something else. And you know, I mean, the Orioles make the playoffs. I don't think anybody will be unhappy.
And mind you, most fans were clamoring for the Orioles to get one of the free agent starting pitchers that were available. They almost got Irvin Santana. In addition to having Ubaldo Jimenez, they, in fact, outbid the competition, I believe. And then, you know, look at Matt Garza or Bronson Arroyo or A.J. Burnett right now. No one is really lighting the world on fire. So it's one of those things. If you want to play with the big boys here, and with, like, a lot of fans wanted the Orioles to do this offseason, there's a certain inherent risk. That's why I really almost would say to any general manager, free agent starting pitching, if you are relying on that, you're in big trouble.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's, again, I mean, yeah, we, in an ideal world, would you love to keep the draft picks and make the big league team better? Sure, but it just doesn't work out that way.
And then I know this is looking towards the future here a little bit, but we are getting closer to that trade deadline. And nothing too specific here, Jim, but looking at anything the Orioles could possibly do moving forward here to maybe swing a deal, and I'm not saying the Orioles are going to be even that aggressive here, although they have been the last few trade deadlines. They got Bud Norris at the deadline last year. They got Jim Thome the year before, but we're not talking about huge moves. But do you think the Orioles have enough in that farm system to swing a trade at this point? I know there are a lot more buyers right now than sellers, so they probably don't have what it takes, is my guess, if they don't want to give up Kevin Gausman or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where I see it. I mean, can you make a smaller move? Yeah, you can always make a smaller move. But, you know, there's all this talk that, you know, they were in hot and heavy on Jeff Samardzija. And I just don't see how they match up with the Cubs or for anybody who's going to be a real significant trade piece. Because I'm with you. I can't imagine they would trade Gausman. You know, just try, like, who's the best player they would realistically trade? I can't imagine they trade Bundy. He's coming back from Tommy John. So I don't know if anybody's giving you a real big, you know, star big leaguer for a guy who's, you know, just starting to come back from Tommy John surgery. So, you know, Hunter Harvey's probably the next guy, and he's real interesting. You know, maybe he's the best guy, but, you know, I just don't see a lot of depth where you can go out and swing a major trade. You know, and my guess is, I mean, I would imagine they'd be pretty reluctant to want to give up Hunter Harvey, too.
I think you're right about that. There's also the Eduardo Rodriguez's of the world, but he's struggling right now, even though he's a pretty highly touted guy. I think you're pretty high on Rodriguez entering this year.
Yeah, I mean, I like Rodriguez. I mean, you know, you have Jonathan Scope and you have Josh Hart who can run. I mean, you have guys who there'd be interest in, but, like, you know, like, let's say they don't trade Gausman or Bundy or Harvey. Like, how many trades, I mean, Orioles fans probably don't want to hear me say this, but, I mean, how many trades do you see where it's like a Jeff Samardzija or a Chase Utley or a big-time guy where, like, a lefty, you know, three-pitch lefty with good, not great stuff is the frontline player in the deal, or a guy like Jonathan Scope would be the frontline player in the
right.
deal. That just doesn't happen. Those are guys who are like the second and third players in trades for big-time pieces. You know, if they want to go out and swing a deal like they did for Bud Norris, I could see them doing something like that. But I don't think – I'll put it this way. I just would – I would be surprised. I don't see the Orioles having – the ammunition to really go out and get one of the big trade pieces that's going to be talked about for the next month or so, unless they were willing to give up a Gossman or a Bundy or a Hunter Harvey. And I'm not even sure, you know, like I said, I'm not even sure they would trade those guys. And, you know, even if you would include Bundy and Hunter Harvey, yeah, I mean, that would be a good start, but you know, you'd still have more to fill in if you're talking about getting one of these real stars.
Fascinating stuff from Jim Callis from MLB.com, MLBpipeline.com. Jim, let's catch up later in the summer. I really do appreciate your time as always.
No problem. And you always get talking to you.